of the league address. Most of the time, it's on a Wednesday. From Roger Goodell to the rest of the media,
therefore
to you,
of the union is strong.
No, well, I'm sure he said that, but that is the state of the league address. It's always given during the week of Super Bowl week, and lately it's been on a Wednesday. And Roger Goodell did it yesterday, and you know he talked about the Raiders a little bit and their situation. He talked about Mexico City, talked about London, talked about a lot of different things. But obviously the only things people really cared about is the ramification of everything that happened in the NFC Championship game and what's going to happen going forward. And he's really getting torched by a lot of people for his performance in front of that. And I don't even mean this as rude. I set the bar so low for Roger Goodell as a leader that then I don't look at this and get offended or think he did terrible because I don't expect a lot from him. And I don't mean that as being a jerk because I don't know what he's like behind closed doors. You know, we think this is our game of football, so we want him to be the leader. And quite frankly, he doesn't care about us. You know, they make decisions based on making money for the owners, and the owners are right in saying he does a good job of that, of making them money. And who knows how good he is at building a coalition, getting different owners for things or against things and moving things along. And that's to them the job of a commissioner. So for me to say he's a terrible commissioner, really, what? How do I know if I'm not in the owner's meeting or the room?
Doug Lee's honestly.
But when I look at it as a fan point of view, I think he's a bad leader of our game, but we all know it's not our game.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It makes perfect sense. First of all, you've got to look at the metrics right here. Does the league continue to expand and grow? You better believe it. $15 billion, they believe. And they have set a goal for 2027 of $25 billion. Stop and think about that. The league
That's
is
job security.
Exploding. Roger Goodell's not going anywhere as long as those numbers continue to increase the way that they are.
Good point.
So if you're trying to figure out if he's a good commissioner or not, and it only matters what the owners think, well, that perhaps is the only metric they're really measuring.
You're right, Bobby.
What is gross revenue? And $15 billion and climbing, that'll get you another contract at $40 million plus per year. That's exactly what happened. Now, as for what we were all expecting, Doug, nobody expected him to say much of anything because he gets up there and really his job description, other than generating revenue, is to be a human shield for the owners.
Mm-hmm.
So he just gets up there and he kicks everything to the ownership committees and the league committees, and he's not going to say much of anything about anything. And I think people get frustrated because he's sort of like that guy when you walk into the cell phone store who just gives you the answers by the book and you can't get anywhere with anyone. And he's just going to keep referring to policy and the rule book and there's no reason, it's just policy. And he's sort of that corporate guy when you're on the 1-800 line and you can't get any personal customer service whatsoever. That's Roger Goodell.
Now, one thing we should ask.
He's such a contrarian.
One thing we should ask is, is it time for our color analyst?
Just relax, Francis.
Of the Arizona Cardinals. Does the Arizona Cardinals color analyst, is he ready to step up and say Roger Goodell is a liar?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Well, we need more color analysts like that because we found one.
What?
This is Roger Goodell yesterday talking about the situation of the no pass interference call.
Yes.
And maybe a slip of the tongue if you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, or a bold-faced lie. You decide.
We understand the frustration of the fans. I've talked to Coach Payton, the team, the players. We understand the frustration that they feel right now, and we certainly want to address that.
Maybe we is a little caveat, but we talked to Sean Payton. We talked to the team, the players. That's what he said. Well, Zach Strief is now the color analyst of the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every player I've talked to, matter of fact, here's a good one. I just asked Ben Watson. We're sitting here off air trying to say, who could he have talked to? Because I talked to Drew earlier, and Drew said no. So then, Deuce, that's a good, you know, hey, Ben Watson. Ben Watson made this post asking him to say something. Maybe he talked to Ben Watson. I asked him, Ben, did you talk to Roger Goodell? His response, ha, that's funny. No. So the man literally stands up on a podium and just lies.
Oh.
I mean, but just, he said we, right? That would be my only question. When he says we, he's talking about the league, right?
We understand the frustration of the fans. I've talked to Coach Payton, the team.
He did say we understand the frustration of the fans, and then he kind of slipped in an I've that doesn't sound really audible.
Okay. Yes,
I've talked
right,
to Sean
Dudley's.
Payton, the
yes.
team, the players, and here is Zach Street kind of doing the homework. And if you say you've talked to the players, maybe you're not. You talked to Ben Watson. I don't know. You would definitely have talked to Drew Brees
yes.
if you've said that I talked to the players, wouldn't you?
Yes. Maybe he was being a little liberal there in his assessment of the players. Maybe he talked to one player and said, talk to the players.
And out of anybody, wouldn't you have talked to Drew Brees first?
When I heard that yesterday, though, I just took it, and I didn't really parse it word for word, syllable for syllable. I just took it as Al Riveron had the post-game conversation with mm-hmm. Sean Payton. Thus, he's the acting agent of the league when it comes to officiating matters.
Honestly, it really doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen, okay. whether or not he's lying or not. It doesn't. I mean, I guess it does to anybody out there, of course, right? But for the most part, stop and think about it. The way this has been handled overall, what a disaster.
That's very true.
What an absolute disaster. I'm sorry. The silence. How many days?
It's been a week and a half from Sunday to Wednesday.
11 days.
Sunday to the next Wednesday.
11 days. Well, the silence said, this is not a big deal. I don't need to address this.
That's what's so weird. If they, no matter what they would have said, we would have ignored it. But at least they would have said something, and then we would have read their statement, we would have moved on. To actually do nothing. That's weird.
Well, there's a theory, though. He dropped into the press conference that we did make a call to Sean Payton, and then the coach disclosed it to the media. And so there's a theory that Roger Goodell was cheesed off that Sean Payton revealed it to the media that he got a call from Al Riveron, and because of that, he decided to do nothing else about it.
I'll buy that theory, but that's even worse leadership to me.
Wow.
I mean, that's even worse. That you're not going to get out in front of it because you're mad at one guy.
Right.
Well, not only that, what? You're going to blame Sean Payton? Now all of a sudden he's the bearer of responsibility in this whole thing? You are the shield. Roger Goodell is the shield.
You're
Boy,
right,
you were talking about Roger Goodell and the fact that he was acting as a shield to the owners.
For
you're
the
right
owners.
About that, Bullock.
He's the in-between.
You're right about that, but not only that, he's the shield of the NFL. It's synonymous. The commissioner of the NFL, he must speak on it. And the silence, to me, just was very condemning. The haughtiness, this is not a big deal. The solution. Look at the solution. Yeah, we're going to look at this. We're definitely going to look at this. To me, I thought Roger Goodell should have come out and said, what a disaster. What a disaster that was.
But once again,
we can never, ever allow that to happen again in this game.
He's beholden to the owners, first, second, and third. And who knows how much bad blood still exists from Bountygate between him and Sean Payton. If you told me that behind the scenes this is very poisonal, this got poisonal,
well,
including the T-shirt that Sean Payton was rocking yesterday under the sweatshirt.
We have to.
I mean, that ostensibly looked like the clown nose T-shirt Patricia was wearing off the plane.
We have empirical proof.
What we did is if you follow us at Doug and Wolf 98.7, Maloney superimposed the actual T-shirt itself over the little bit of the T-shirt that you can see from Sean Payton, and it matches perfectly. The little piece of hair lines up perfectly with the famous clown Roger Goodell shirt worn by defensive coordinator Matt Patricia when he was with the Patriots. Wow.
The man literally stands up on a podium and just lies.
Woo! Coming up next, Patrick Peterson literally stood up on a podium with a microphone and said, I apologize. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Pat P.
I just want to apologize to everybody for asking for that trade in the middle of the season. I'm here to stay, baby.
That's at the 16th yesterday. Waste Management Phoenix Open. And the Pro-Am was yesterday. The actual tournament gets underway. I think, seriously, in 2 minutes. I think in 2 minutes is the first set of teeing off. They start at 7:20 as long as there's no issues weather-wise, and they do the split. You know, some of you tee off on 10, some of you tee off on 1 to keep things moving.
Yeah.
So it starts in 2 minutes in Scottsdale at the TPC Scottsdale, but Yesterday, Patrick Peterson stood in front of everybody at the 16th and made that announcement that he apologizes to the crowd for the trade.
They need to hear it from the man himself, so it was a great opportunity to do it in front of, I don't know how many thousand people was there, but I felt it was the right time to do it. I love these people. That's why I come out here and spend the time out of my day to take pictures, autographs, all that stuff. That's why I do it.
And the reaction, everybody's thanking you for
doing it. Doubt about it. They love me too, obviously, right?
That was the extra voice there was Cameron Cox at 12 News, and I tell you, I like that he did it. It's always and forever going to be ridiculous that it's bad that anybody does it. A team captain that does it is just like, what are you doing? But at the same time, I do appreciate the apology. I don't know how Steve Wilks feels. I don't know how Steve Keim feels.
Sure.
I don't know how other leaders in the locker room feel like, wait a minute. But I remember Fitz ripping him for it. And when Fitz ripped him for it, I kind of felt like, okay, maybe it's over.
Well, he did
with
it in
the team.
A joking way.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yes. Listen, Patrick Peterson, I love Pappy. I really do, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very genuine, very sincere guy. I absolutely love him. What you see is what you get from him. But he's emotional. There's no doubt about it. I think he would tell you that himself, right? What he did was wrong, in my estimation, as a former player. I'm sorry. You're a team captain. You can't do it. There's got to be a different way to get your message out there. There's got to be a different way. I know you were frustrated, Pat P. I know that you were. I understand why you were frustrated. They were using a scheme, and the scheme involved a lot of zone cover, whether it was four deep or three deep. It was a lot of zone, and I don't think that's the best way to use you, Pat P. But you know you can't do what you did.
Tell me,
and I'm glad he apologized for it.
Bring us into a locker room for a second, because I admit I look at it as anytime somebody asks for a trade, I think that reflects poorly on your character. You signed the contract, honor the deal. You didn't have a problem when you got your money, so now why do you have a problem? I don't like it whenever it happens. But am I right in saying that most people in a locker room would totally accept him demanding a trade in the offseason, because they feel like it's us against the world during the season? No matter how bad it gets, it's all of us. We're the only ones that are together. And now you're saying you want out.
No doubt.
Now we're in the foxhole together, and you just said, never mind, I don't believe in any of this, I'm leaving. But if you do it in the offseason, they all look, well, that's business. And I don't think players care in the offseason if you do it. Am I reading that right?
You're reading that 100% right on the money, right? Yes, absolutely. Listen, the frustration, I'll guarantee you there were players, whether it was defense or offensive players, there were players in that locker room who were frustrated for Pat P because of how he was being used, because of all the zone cover that was being played by the Arizona Cardinals instead of the man and the shadowing, the ghosting of the other team's best receiver, as we have come accustomed to here in the Basin, mm-hmm. right? With Todd Bowles first, of course, and then James Betcher. We've all become accustomed to seeing Pat P ghost the other team's best receiver and do a great job of covering him and holding up in that situation. Isn't that right, Julio Jones? Although you did torch him one time. There's no doubt about
He's
that.
Won the majority
there
of the meetings, but game, you're right. Oh,
there
boy,
was
it was
one
bad.
Game he got torched, and yep. it was bad. But having said that, there were players in that locker room, Basin Onions, I guarantee you, they were frustrated. Why are you using Pat P this way? So I think he had a lot of empathy in that locker room, but you can't do what he did
yep.
in the middle of the season. There are other ways to get that worked out, like going to, hey, listen, if you wanted to go to Steve Keim, the general manager, go, Steve, this has got to change. They're not using me correctly. We're halfway through the season. This has got to change. You know it. We've got to have a conversation. Bring Steve in. Steve Wilks, that is. Bring in Al Holcomb. Let's have this conversation right now. This has got to change. It's not working. We've had half a season. You can't go public because you're frustrated. You're a team captain. A captain. I don't know why I said captain. You're a team captain. You're the face of the franchise. You can't do it.
Do you think
Having
he recognizes
said that,
that
I understand why he is frustrated. And was frustrated. I understand it. But he also understood early on why it was they were going to do mm-hmm. what they were going to do with him. And
also,
he was interested to see how it was going to go.
It's also a really good point by you about the other people in the room. I mean, a lot of us have been in an office setting where maybe the boss man hasn't wronged you or hasn't done something that uses you in the wrong way, but you do question their ability to do their job because you see how he's using or how she's using other people.
Yes,
they say, wait, you're putting that guy in that position?
Yep.
What are you doing?
You're putting that guy?
And,
I like the way you said that.
But Patrick Peterson does believe it's going to change. Now, granted, it's not like he's going to say, no, I don't think it's going to change. Vance Joseph is a doofus and this will never work. But he sold it to me. He sounds good yesterday talking about Vance.
A lot more man. I put my hands on people now. Yeah. You know, instead of, you know, playing off and trying to play with my eyes. I love the idea of playing with my eyes, but I also love the idea better of putting my hands on receivers and, you know, slowing those guys down, letting those guys know that it's going to be a long day. Because, you know, throughout the course of the season, it was receivers coming up to me after the game. It was like, man, what the heck are you doing, man? It's kind of funny watching you play 7 yards off and playing with vision and backpedaling. So it's making our job easier, but it's definitely kind of weird seeing you play off man now.
This is why I love Pat P. His heart is true. Yes, he's emotional. Yes, what he did, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, was wrong, right? But he apologized, and he's being very forthcoming. He admitted it right there.
Yeah.
I was kind of interested, right, using my eyes and playing off. It just didn't work. I understand why he was frustrated.
I don't understand why the adjustments weren't made. It just still drives me nuts. I actually accept him being a little bit more of zone when you're playing against a team that doesn't have a one dominant receiver. You know, if they don't have one dominant receiver, mix it up a little bit. That's a really good idea. But when you're playing against a team like the Broncos that only has one guy that can hurt you as a receiver, how do you not just say, Pat P, today, you're just going to, especially when you haven't done that this year. You haven't done it this year at all, and all of a sudden you change things up that massively on a Thursday night?
It's called dogma.
Oh, yeah. Look where that'll get you.
Dogma.
Got to adjust when you know things, when the evidence is in your face. Coming up next, Saturday night is a special NFL night. Ron Wolfley would actually like to see Saturday night replace the Pro Bowl. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to do it our way. The NFL Award Show. Academy style. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug and Wolf's 2018 NFL Honors.
NFL Honors.
Yeah. Like that.
So this year, I'm so excited to be your guys' host. So
really, Maloney?
Let's kick things off.
Best storyline. And the nominees are...
Oh, no.
Le'Veon Bell.
The thing about it is he's not here. He's not going to be here, so we don't talk about it. I texted him yesterday before the deadline, asking him, text him, telling him, hope he was going to show up. And if he decided not to, I wish him nothing but the best. He was a great teammate, a great football player. You know, to each their own on what they want to walk away from. If you need $14, we can probably find something for you for everybody here, though.
Antonio Brown.
From afar, it's just too much miscommunication, too much diva.
Colts comeback.
Frank stresses the process, right? Everybody's goal is to win, right? Each team's goal is to win going in, but so you got to focus on the process. You know, what are you doing every single play, every single week to make it better?
The Raiders rebuild?
Yeah, you know, the I don't know where the controversy is, honestly. You know, I mean, if you're starting a controversy or I'm starting, I don't know. The reality is we made a trade. I don't think it hurt the offense today. I hope Amari does great. I really do. I want to say that perfectly clear.
Can I have the envelope, please?
Oh, my goodness. What? We don't get to vote?
Oh, yeah. We usually do. But you're driving.
All right. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, vote. Let's hear what you think.
Wow, this is go ahead, Doug. Read the winner,
because if everybody doesn't say this one,
yeah, okay.
I have one that's different, I admit, from your nominees. Go ahead.
Did you give me the envelope?
I already did. Yeah, okay. You want it again?
Somebody tore it,
and the winner is,
yes,
Le'Veon Bell.
No. The Academy got this one wrong.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Why do you say that, Douglas?
Because
I love Bell down.
Mine wasn't even nominated, so that shows you just how bad the Academy did.
What exactly was the storyline? What storyline was bigger than that? LaBelle?
The Browns started off on... You had the drama of the Browns with Todd Haley, Hugh Jackson, Greg Williams, the firing of two of them. Freddie saves the offense. Baker Mayfield comes off the bench on a Thursday night. They yes. win for the first time in 2 years. I hate Cleveland. I hate everything about Cleveland. The Cleveland Browns were unbelievable storyline this year. That is number one.
Well, see, to me, and no, I'm done with Cleveland. Are you kidding me? Even though I played for them for 2 years, ladies and gentlemen, that wasn't the number one storyline. Are you kidding me? It was LaBelle.
No.
Yeah, I'm kind of bringing it home. There's no doubt about it. The best running back in the National Football League, that's what I'm going to call him, ladies and gentlemen, the best running back in the National Football League did not play in 2018. Did not. And for whatever reason, I'm going to bring it home now. Here it is, big finish. James Saxon was let go by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ooh.
Was that dumb?
Boy, there's a 30-30 from ESPN at some point
Connor
in time.
Played, yeah.
How in the world was James Saxon let go, fired, ladies and gentlemen, from the Pittsburgh Steelers? There are people within the organization don't understand how that happened. And yet here he is, LaBelle's running back coach, surfacing here in the basin, and is now going to be David Johnson's running back coach.
Johnson wins that.
Are you kidding me? I brought it home, ladies and gentlemen. That was the biggest storyline.
Maybe it wasn't Doug's biggest storyline because he drafted LaBelle on his fantasy team. But anyway.
Performance of the year.
Oh, no.
And the nominees are...
Ryan Fitzpatrick, week one versus the Saints.
The snap, third down and six. Good protection pass. Down the sideline. Oh, receiver is day. Catch made. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Right over the shoulder to Michael Evans. A great throw on third down by Ryan Fitzpatrick. My goodness. Is there anything he can't do today on opening day?
Who is that guy right there?
Derrick Henry, week 14 versus the Jaguars.
They're going to give it to the big man. He comes back to the right. He's got the 50, the 45 to 40, the 35 to 30, the 25 to 20, the 15, the 10, the 5, the end zone. 54 yards. Derrick Henry. Titans.
Patrick Mahomes, week two versus the Steelers.
The backfield. Mahomes steps up down the middle of the field. Caught by Kelsey. Touchdown. Kansas City. A perfect low post throw. Kelsey's in the end zone for the second time in this game.
So, what do you guys say?
The second one. What was that one? What was that?
Derrick Henry, week Derrick 14 Henry, yes. versus the Jaguars.
Touchdown, Titans.
I'm going Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzmagic, 21 of 28, 417 yards, four touchdowns.
Yes, and what was the category on that again, Maloney? What
best
was
performance
of the year.
Best performance of the year. Okay, I actually had down Patrick Mahomes. Sorry, but the sound was really good. Patrick
is
Mahomes.
Six touchdown day?
Week 16, 23 of 28, ladies and gentlemen. That's 82% completion. 326 yards, six touchdowns, no interceptions.
The six touchdowns.
And a QBR of 154.8. Are you kidding? That, to me, was the performance of the year.
Envelope, please.
Okay.
And the winner is Patrick Mahomes, week
yeah!
two versus
no!
the Steelers.
Wait a minute. I thought it was Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I thought it was week 16.
It wasn't week 16. It was week two. I'll go with, I don't mind that one.
From
though.
The bottom up.
Oh, you did?
That's what it was. That's what it was.
Oh, no, that's funny.
Okay.
Yeah, week 17 happens last. I can't argue with six touchdowns. Fitzmagic was crazy that game, but 400 yards does top the 326. But
there's no doubt about it.
I don't
it.
Think the Academy butchered that one like they did the first one.
Patrick Mahomes, are you kidding me? What a freak show he was in 2018.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll end on this one.
Best cannon fodder.
Oh.
And the nominees are.
Best cannon fodder.
Yeah.
Kyle Juszczyk.
Beathard under center. Breida the lone back, although Juszczyk now is offset to the left. Two receivers in the game. And it's play action. And it's a screen to Juszczyk. Left side caught at the 45. He's loose at the 40, near side 35, and down to the 33. It's a gain of 16 yards on that play.
Somebody cover Juszczyk in that game.
Okay, Kyle Juszczyk, fullback. Continue.
James Devlin.
Brady Kearns gives it to Devlin. Up the middle. Yeah. A dive to the end zone. James Devlin times two. Touchdown, Patriots. His second of the day.
And Ron Wolfley.
Fake to Vardell. Test Verde. Touchdown. Wolfley.
Oh, it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. Don't tell.
You can hear the play-by-play that again. The play-by-play guy is so funny.
Thanks to Vardell.
Listen.
Testaverde.
Wait, who is this? Who is this?
Touchdown.
Wolfley. The gap between That's touchdown awesome. And Wolfley. He had no idea.
Well,
that can't be Wolfley. Why is he in the end zone? Who is that? Who is that?
It's not only that. It was the fact Greg Lloyd was laying all over me. I've told that story many times about that very touchdown, but I'm going with James Devlin.
If we're going on an individual game, Juszczyk destroyed the Cardinals. Destroyed them.
Yes.
I'm taking Juszczyk.
Cannon fodder, James Devlin.
Envelope, please. Yeah. Ron Wolfley.
Oh, come on, you suck up. The Academy's a bunch of suck ups.
Listen, I'd like to thank the Academy, ladies and gentlemen, for the acknowledgement of my touchdown reception.
This whole building's been intimidated about Wolf.
Yes, thank you very much for that. In the back of the end zone against the Pittsburgh Steelers with Greg Lloyd bearing down on me, I might add.
I don't know what's going on here. For 10 years, the Academy has been fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic. And all of a sudden today, the Academy is a disaster.
All right, I like this now. I've got the flow of this. I love this. It's the Doug and Wolf NFL 2018 honors. I like it.
Bunch of suck-ups. Coming up next, will the Suns be happy being the third team in? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Gather on the transistor and press the ear basin on the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning broadcasting on a beautiful Chime Thursday. From the Auction Community Studios, we say good morning to you, brothers. We need to bring the chimes back again.
No,
the positive
no,
wind chimes.
No, no.
Oh, the chimes. The ringing and the tolling of the chimes.
Long time ago, we used to have every day of the week had some kind of auditory signal for you.
Yes.
And Wolf wanted to make this show only positive. So no matter how many strikeouts Adam Dunn had one day, you know.
Please.
Shock factor.
We had to be positive about it. No matter what happened to ASU, we had to be positive about it on a Thursday.
Right, absolutely. Be positive.
I didn't listen. Yes. But then you wanted to play wind chimes. And the only thing that's more annoying than your own wind chimes are your neighbor's wind chimes.
You're right about that.
All wind chimes are dumb.
I don't like wind chimes either.
Then why did you want to play?
I don't like wind chimes. Hmm. I don't. Because Spade actually is the one who did it.
Exactly what she would play, Bear. And I didn't like him then.
Spade, ladies and gentlemen, our old technical director, Spade.
Mama Spade now.
Yeah, Mama Spade. Welcome to the fold, Ebony. used to play these on our own.
Oh,
the wind chimes, right? We wanted it to be a positive.
And then if I ever went on a rant, she would then play the chimes in the middle of it if it was on a Thursday. I did not at all. This is James Jones. He was on with Burns and Gambo yesterday, and he is speaking positively about what they're going to do around Devin Booker.
We've said all along that we're committed to building a sustainable winning team that he can lead. At some point, every player becomes a free agent, and that's a decision point for them. You know, Devin chose to forego free agency and sign an extension to kind of signal that he desires to be here. So we're fine with Devin, and we'll get things going in the right direction.
First of all, James, is everything okay?
Yes, right.
That was
siren
important
in the background.
And if there's anything that drives me nuts, is if I'm driving somewhere and I hear a siren in my radio and not actually around me. So if you were looking around anywhere, don't worry. That was actually on the James Jones sound from Burns and Gambo yesterday. But the reason why they were talking about Devin Booker is because of the Anthony Davis situation.
Yes.
Since Anthony Davis is a Kentucky guy who appears to be of great character, demanding a trade, since that's shocking, Devin Booker, a Kentucky guy that we thought was happy, that appears to have great character as far as being a face of a franchise. What are you doing? Would you ever do this? And then the conversation morphed into, okay, if Anthony Davis is traded, are we getting in on this? I mean, there's been a lot of rumors that the Suns could get a point guard.
Correct.
As the third team in an Anthony Davis trade.
No, we haven't had those discussions. Our discussions have really been about what can we do to improve our team. But our jobs are to listen to every opportunity or examine every opportunity and see if there's some value for us. So whether or not we're a facilitator, whether or not we do a one-on-one deal, multi-team deal, I think what's available will dictate that.
Doug Lease, I was totally distracted by primetime. Deion Sanders up here on the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. Will you play that cut early again? Listen to this, Basinonians. Early, just the beginning part of it.
When Jones is asked by Burns and Gambo on whether or not you're in on the being possibly yes. The third point guard? Okay.
No, we haven't had those discussions. Our discussions have really been about what can we do to improve our team. But our jobs.
Do you mind if I read into that?
Yes, exactly.
When I hear James Jones say that, are you involved in possibly being a third team to facilitate an Anthony Davis trade somewhere else and maybe picking up a point guard? And he starts by saying, no, we're looking to improve our team. Well, number one, if you get a point guard that is of somebody that has an established veteran or a guy under a good contract, you are improving your team. Secondly, doesn't it sound like he's saying, no, we're not involved in trying to get the point guard. We're talking directly to New Orleans about getting Anthony Davis.
No,
I mean, am I nuts?
No.
I mean, why
you're
not?
Nuts. Cool.
Think about
you're
it.
Nuts.
Why wouldn't Devin Booker just text Anthony Davis and say, hey, you want to bring the Wildcats here? No offense to ASU fans.
Yeah, maybe I'm reading it wrong here, but why wouldn't you be involved in it? I guess that's what I'm saying. Why wouldn't there be conversations that are going on? Why wouldn't you try everything?
Yeah.
I mean, that's your job. You got to put out all the hooks. Now, maybe I'm taking him out of context right here, Basinonians. There's a good chance that's what's happening here because I haven't listened to the entire conversation. But that right there made it sound like, no, we're not doing that. And why wouldn't you be possibly
doing that? It's kind of
scary. Doing that? Why wouldn't you? So forgive me.
Should be
James,
involved in every
forgive
angle.
Me, James, if I'm taking you out of context, but it seems like, yeah, every possibility that is out there, you better believe we're there. That's the easy answer. Yeah, we're doing our due diligence, and you better believe every angle that possibly could be out there. We had a seven-team trade, as a matter of fact. That was,
I mean, James Jones, I appreciate the honesty greatly. But I do have to ask, why not? Why is there ever a trade rumor out there that you haven't called somebody to say, hey, what can we get involved in this? What would you want from us? Unless you're going to get into a three-way trade and you don't even know who you're trading for. I'm sure that would never happen.
Yeah, I have no idea what to say there, but
I want Brooks.
There are some other things that he said in regard to Devin Booker, right, and his level of frustration right now. I honestly, do you have time to play that cut about Devin Booker and his frustration level and whether or not they're concerned about that, Doug Lease?
I'm not concerned about that with Devin. Devin has reiterated multiple times that Phoenix is where he wants to be. And like all things, you push to be better. Devin understands that this isn't a situation where we can flip a switch and become a contender overnight. A lot of our growth and progress will be determined by his growth and progress.
There are two things that I hope here, Basinonians. Number one, I hope Devin Booker is frustrated. And I think we all can see the frustration from Devin Booker, right? I hope he is. I hope he sits in his locker room alone after a game and just goes, I hope he does that, honestly. Okay, maybe he doesn't have to do that with the gritted teeth.
I hope
not. But still, I hope he is frustrated. He should be frustrated. This guy's not a wedge buster like me. All right, where I'd go out there on the field and do my job and nobody'd notice that I did my job. All right, this guy is the fulcrum. This guy is Tavarin of the Phoenix Suns. He is the thing that everything else wraps around for the Phoenix Suns. I hope he is frustrated as a competitor. I hope that he is. And then number two, I hope the Suns are listening. I hope they are listening. Because Anthony Davis right now, I mean, just look what's going on there.
It seems like the exact career path that Devin Booker is on.
Exactly right.
Now, the one thing I do really like what James Jones said, though, was at the end of the quote you just asked for.
A lot of our growth and progress will be determined by his growth and progress.
I mean, put it right on his shoulders. There
Boom.
You go.
Enough said. And that's the reason why. Again, I hope the Suns are watching here. A guy that is getting frustrated. And you could easily see this. The coalescing of stars. The unbelievable player collusion that's going on in the NBA and the universe of the NBA right now. This is going to continue. This trend is going to continue. You want Devin Booker bringing people here to Phoenix eventually. Not going somewhere yep. else. Not doing the Anthony Davis.
Comedian Jim Jeffries is coming to Celebrity Theater on his Night Talker tour Saturday, February 9th, and we're giving you the chance to win tickets. Just head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com to enter. And for complete details on tickets and show info, coming up next, do you have the guts to call out the entire leader of your industry?
The man literally stands up on a podium and just lies.
Wow. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.